Welcome to the Full Tracy Money Radio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording. It is 3:19 p.m. That is Central Time. Today is May 25th. Well, Nvidia today gapped higher following the strong earnings after the close last night, and clearly depicting that they are the big winner from artificial intelligence. The share is up well in excess of 100% since the beginning of the year, but since it was a lot closer to 100 and a lot, and now close to 400, then the move since early October. Is really quite profound. And for a large cap company, that's really quite significant. A lot of the reason for the move has been because of the altered chip that they're selling to China. And because those are, their ability has been inhibited, then what Chinese consumers of chips need to do is to buy more of them to achieve the same efficiency. So that is boosting the number of chips sold. And then we can also think about the estimates that analysts have made, and some people thinking that the sales that were reached in the first quarter equate what would have been possible in 2025. So certainly pulling forward sales from well into the future. And of course, the share is rallying spectacularly on the assumption that that is going to persist. Of course, there are risks to that consideration, and one might be that the sales growth will not keep up because eventually the USA will say, well, you can't sell even those chips to China any longer. So there's obviously a risk to the share price when it has gone up so quickly, and there's no question that this is an acceleration higher. So now the question, of course, is when a share is so very widely overextended relative to the 200-day moving average, even more overextended than it was back in November of 21, are we probably more due some consolidation rather than a repeat performance of today's move? But then I think it's also rather interesting to highlight the fact that the Fangman plus Tesla number of shares relative to the total market cap of the NYSE hit a new all-time high in here today. So this has been an incredibly profound rebound since the beginning of this year. And this is a new high. So then the big question is, have those eight companies suddenly become all powerful? And do they really represent a quarter of all of the value from the entire market? Because that's certainly what their market cap represents right now. Alternatively, has this euphoria around artificial intelligence, has it perhaps been overdone because of a dearth of other possibilities? And I think when we look at some of the winners and losers, well, you have Intel, for example, which is way behind in the provision of graphics chips to compete with Nvidia. So it was down in really quite a dynamic manner in here today. And then we can think about a company like IBM, where they had their Watson system and they just couldn't make it work. So they were one of the first to bring out a kind of a artificial intelligence type assistant, and over the course of the last 6 or 7 years, the share has gone basically nowhere. Now, of course, they do continue to raise their dividend, so it does yield 5.25%, and that is certainly more competitive than we see in lots of other companies. But when we're really looking at growth, obviously, the companies like Microsoft, Google, Nvidia, Salesforce, those are the ones that are really leading this market higher, and they're all attached to the latest round of enthusiasm surrounding artificial intelligence. So the Nasdaq today gapped higher and is back testing this 14,000 level. Then, what I thought was also interesting is that oil prices are down today by about $2. So, having been in positive territory yesterday, despite the fact that just about every other commodity was in negative territory, oil now seems to be rolling over a little. And you have the Saudi government threatening the oil market, but not acting. So perhaps traders are more willing to test their resolve and are waiting to see whether OPEC does agree to an additional supply cut. And that's going to be painful for OPEC if they can't sustain prices and global demand is rolling over. Then that is certainly problematic. Now, what I think is especially interesting right now is that the H-share index in Hong Kong is rolling over. But then we had really quite negative earnings from XPeng in here today. So the share was down. But then we can look at lots of the other automotive companies in China. And there's none of them are really impressive on the upside. And BYD is looking is working on a downside weekly key reversal from the region of the most recent lower high. And that's one of the best performers. One of the very best performers in 2016 and 17 was Geely Automotive. It went up 10 times in 2016 and 17. And now it is right back down on the lower side of its range and weakening. So the only reasonable conclusion is that demand for vehicles in China is rolling over. And then we can look at Great Wall Motors, and they're taking pot shots at BYD, but one look at the share price and I think we know why. The company is in trouble. But how does that gel with a return to consumer demand following the pandemic? And we've seen this spectacular advance in the luxury goods companies. And Hermès pulled back really quite sharply yesterday, and it was off the lows in here today. So on the one hand, we have investors willing to bet that luxury goods demand will remain high, but then the automotive sector is really under pressure, and it suggests that all of this enthusiasm around the reopening in China is also contributing to a significant narrowing of breadth. And then CATL is rolling over here, and it's still holding this sequence of lower rally highs. But then we have these companies that are mining lithium, and lithium prices have rebounded, and Allkem, for example, is now right in the region of its peak, but really quite overbought in the short term. And with these EV companies not doing especially well, then one would have to question whether a straight line recovery in lithium prices is more likely or less likely. I think it's quite unlikely, and that we're more likely to have a lot of ranging volatile activity. Now, Tesla has got right up to test the 200-day moving average and then paused. Now the bigger question for Tesla is whether they can really prove that all of the money they've been sinking into autonomous driving translates into the artificial intelligence boom that's underway for companies like Nvidia or Microsoft. And of course, Microsoft was in really quite strong territory in here today, and now coming back up to test the peak from late 2021. And now we're also going to start to see some positioning around the product launch for Apple next month. So the share price was in mildly positive territory today. It's pausing here in the region of the peak from back in late 2021. I do think it's going to need a catalyst in order to pop on the upside. There's a lot of enthusiasm surrounding Apple's new augmented reality or virtual reality headset, and it could carry a price tag of $3,000, which will be aimed very squarely at the early adopters, and then hopefully bring the price down as people become more interested. But the big question, of course, is what else are they going to have, and are they going to be able to deliver a real enhancement in terms of productivity? And of course, then the big question will be how well will that integrate with artificial intelligence type query systems? And will it be a big productivity enhancer? A lot of the types of products that Apple has produced have really been more about personal entertainment rather than productivity. So this artificial or excuse me, augmented reality, virtual reality headset, it's a big question whether it's going to be more about just people wasting time or enjoying themselves, or whether it is going to be something that's going to be more designed for industry or used in industry. There was a big jump in demand for iPads when they first came out as potentially a use case for industry, and that really never really panned out. So it's going to be a big question whether they can deliver a new iPod type of solution, a new iPhone type of solution for a product segment that is still quite new. Now, when we then think about what else is going on in the world, well, the rand is breaking downwards. So it's a new reaction low. In fact, it's a new all-time low for the rand. When you have the CEO of Eskom writing a book about the depth of the corruption in the system, that's obviously not great for perceptions. And they raised rates in here today, and it wasn't enough. And there's a lot of concern about the trajectory of governance in South Africa. So we're definitely seeing some money getting taken off the table here, and the South African ETF is trending downwards. Now, let's also look at some of those larger South African companies like Anglo American, and it has broken downwards. So that's a head and shoulders top formation, and it is now breaking down through the 1,000-day moving average. This is not a bullish chart. And it also is perhaps a broader indication of weakness in Chinese demand as well. Then the Baltic Dry Index is pulling back from the region of the 200-day moving average. And there's been a sequence of lower rally highs since the peak in 2021. And now it's rolling over again. So obviously, this is also an indication that there's less enthusiasm for internationally traded goods. And the LME Metals Index is also breaking downwards. So there is then a question. If China is slowing down and demand growth for the kinds of things that they produce is waning, and they've so far been reluctant to try and stimulate the property market, is there the possibility that when we look at the 10-year yield in China, and we're talking about a differential here that is stretching out to almost 200 basis points relative to treasuries, well then maybe this is not so much about a clear preference for Chinese assets relative to US assets, but rather it is pricing in the potential that China is going to experience deflation. And if they have been, I guess, then there's the potential that China will export that deflation around the world. So that is something that is perhaps being factored into demand for the technology sector. And that is also perhaps why there is renewed enthusiasm for these long duration type assets, like the high growth segment of the market. And obviously, then the potential is that a Chinese deflationary outcome could contribute to a much wider issue in terms of emerging market growth. So when we think about what's going on in the wider world, emerging markets have been very variable. So you have great strength, for example, in Mexico. You have weakness in South Africa. The Indonesian market, and I'm just going to look at the ETF, it has paused now in the region of the upper side of its range. Then, when we think about the Indian market, the Nifty index has been quite firm. And the US dollar denominated India Investment Fund is just about breaking back above its 200-day moving average. So the Indian rupee hasn't been the biggest help for international investors, but at least it's reasonably steady right here. But I think that there's nothing there to say that this isn't still an uptrend, which would suggest that there is going to be further weakness ahead for the rupee. And that's something that will weigh on the returns for international investors. So there is obviously the potential that it is where the risk of deflation is most acute is in China. And then, of course, if China is going to be exporting deflation, then Japan is quite likely to persist in its quantitative easing program. And the Nikkei is pausing in the region of the upper side of this range that's been forming for the last 2.5 years, but it was in positive territory in here today. So there's certainly a lot of movement around the world. I do think that there's a clear feeling of change underway, and there are a lot of moving parts. Certainly, the valuation on the artificial intelligence part of the market is really aggressive and pricing in growth well into the future. Then you have smaller companies that haven't really been able to capitalize, and C3.ai is one of those. And the share is really attempting to rebound, but way behind some of those other companies. Then there is certainly more interest starting to manifest around quantum computing, and some of these companies are just beginning to pop on the upside. And I think this is a part of the market that holds a great deal of promise because of the pace of innovation. So this is certainly something that's beginning to garner attention. But what we are seeing is that a lot of the companies that sold off aggressively and actually do have high growth potential are beginning to steady. Then there are plenty where the bulk of their growth occurred during the pandemic, and they're struggling to gain critical mass, Zoom Media being one of those. We're still in an environment where monetary conditions are tight, and 10-year yields continue to march higher. Now, I think there's a tendency in the market right now to just assume that there's going to be a deal reached, and it's not really something that needs to be factored in. And eventually, what it's going to represent is additional new supply, and that's going to weigh on bond prices. So that's continuing to push those yields higher. And even though we continue to see real strength coming through in the artificial intelligence sector, the regional banks are barely steady. And the higher yields go, the longer they stay high for, the greater the pressure will come to bear on their business model. And the longer we have inverted yield curves, the more pressure will come to bear on their business models. So that is something that we do need to pay attention to, that the underperformance of banks is not a great sign. The bubbly valuations that we have on AI, well, it doesn't look like this trend is over. There might be still additional upside. And I think the first clear downward dynamics are likely to be very meaningful signals in some of those AI companies, but there's no sign of them just yet. And I think with that, I will leave you for today, and I'll wish all the best to all of you.